Psalm chapter 74. Psalm 74. O God, why hast thou rejected us forever? Why does thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, which thou hast redeemed to be the tribe of thine inheritance, and this Mount Zion where thou hast dwelt. Turn thy footsteps toward the perpetual ruins. The enemy has damaged everything within the sanctuary. Thine adversaries have roared in the midst of thy meeting place. They have set up their own standards for signs. It seems as if one had lifted up his axe in a forest of trees, and now all its carved work. They smash with hatchet and hammers, and they have burned thy sanctuary to the ground. They have defiled the dwelling place of thy name. They said in their heart, let us completely subdue them, and have burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor there is any among us who knows how long. How long, O God, will the adversary revile, and the enemy spurn thy name forever? Why dost thou withdraw thy hand, even thy right hand, from within thy bosom? Destroy them. Yet God is my King from of old, who works deeds of deliverance in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by the strength. Thou didst break the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. Thou didst crush the heads of Leviathan. Thou didst give him the food for creatures of the wilderness. Thou didst break open springs and torrents. Thou didst dry up ever-flowing streams. Thine is the day. Thine also is the night. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast established all the boundaries of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, and the enemy has reviled, and a foolish people has spurned thy name. Do not deliver the soul of thy turtle dove to the wild beasts, and do not forget the life of thine afflicted forever. Consider the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the oppressed return dishonored, for the afflicted and needy praise thy name. Do arise, O God, and plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches thee all day long. Do not forget the voice of thine adversaries. The uproar of those who rise against thee will ascend, which ascends continually. Amen. Amen. This is a maskil, or they say, of Asaph. And there is a little bit of difficulty trying to understand this passage because it's talking about the destruction of the sanctuary, the tabernacle, whatever you else want to call it. Obviously, this didn't happen until much after Solomon. This is the Babylonians. This would be, ages later on. And so then if Asaph is writing about that event, then he can't be the Asaph that was around during the reign of David and Solomon. And so what could be some explanations? So there's a few that are out there. One is that Asaph, this person, could actually be referred to as a group of people. In other words, musicians that would come along after. So it could not necessarily be the Asaph that wrote this, but it could be have been another worship leader in the temple that, seeing what's happened, could write this. That's one. Another one theory is that Asaph just wrote this prophetically. And there are evidences in the scriptures that Asaph was a prophet, that he had really, I would say, like sagacious foresight. He could really see ahead as God really allowed him to. And so that could be another aspect of it. The other kind of theories are that simply that Asaph is not really talking about the destruction of the temple, but he may be talking about during his time that there could have been different meeting places that were being defiled for whatever reason. There's all kinds of explanations to this. I don't know. I'd love to say this is the one. I don't know exactly which one of this is, but I think what this psalm really is really a psalm of a man that's crying out to God. At the heart of it, that's what it's about. And it's a man, and notice when he writes, he starts off, God, why have you rejected us forever? And why does your anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Notice here that he doesn't object to the fact that God's angry. In other words, it's not like, God, why are you angry? You know, or something to that effect. He just basically says, Lord, how long is this going to last? In other words, Lord, you're righteous in your anger. You are righteous in this disposition that you're in. But more is like, how long is this going to last? This anger that, you know, that you've rejected us here. Just goes on and on and on. And I think now, oh God, why have you rejected us forever? And obviously, that's not a true statement. God has not, and even in the course of the Israelites, God has not rejected them forever. It's never been that case. But we know, again, this pouring out our heart to God, we know that when we're in these situations, when you feel you're being chastened by the Lord, or you're going through a difficult time, it seems like it's forever, doesn't it? It seems like, Lord, this has been going on for ages. You know, when is this going to relent? And so I think we should give Asaph, I mean, really some levity here and some room to be real and honest. And it's not a truth statement that he's making, but it is a statement of his heart. And he's just reeling to God what he truly, truly feels deep inside. And he's saying, you know, if I use our modern language, right, he's saying, Lord, this is unfair. This is wrong, right? This is messed up. I don't understand this. And I think that in many ways, we can all relate to this in some way. Either the situation be grievous or the situation be small, that doesn't really matter, because it's something that affects us. And so Asaph is just laying out his heart. It seems like, you know, probably if you were to talk to Asaph and say, Asaph, can you write this a little better? And then he would probably say something like, it seems like it's taking forever, Lord, right? Even though he has not rejected them forever in this way. And he's talking about, you know, these adversaries. verse 4. The enemy has damaged everything. The adversaries have roared in the midst of thy meeting place. They have set up their own standards for signs. It seems if one had lifted up his axe in a forest of trees. And he's basically just lamenting kind of the degradation of the sanctuary. Think about it in this way. It's like in the house of God, we have lifted up worldly standards instead of the standards that God has given us in the scriptures. And Asaph is dealing with that same thing. We are more looking towards the world to get how we should behave instead of looking at the gospel, looking at the scriptures, you know, for these things. Because the reality is, a lot of what we're dealing with in the world today, we're in the world, we're not of the world, is there's this real battle to conform to the ways of the world. And we see that happening all the time. And we see in different movements throughout that this is happening. And so he's lamenting this fact. And he's taking that to be a case that God has rejected them in this way. And it says, the whole passage seems just very dour and just, you know, hopeless in some way. But then always, like it's true in the Psalms, we see a shift happening. And in verse 12, it says, all these things are happening. You know, you've withdrawn your hand, even your right hand, so on and so forth. And then he says, yet God is my king from of old. He says, who works deeds of deliverance in the midst of the earth. And so the rest of the stuff, you have to kind of understand a little bit of Babylonian culture. He's ascribing, and he's basically, what Asaph is doing, he says, he's basically always been God. He's the creator. And he says in verse 13, you divide the sea by your strength. You break the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. You crush the head of Leviathan And you give food for the creatures of the wilderness. You break open springs and torrents. You dry up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day. Yours is also the night. You prepare the light and the sun. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Babylonian culture in a certain way. Or I would say just ancient cultures. When they talk about the creation of the world, when they talk about creation in general, they have their own mythology that says that there was a sea creature. There was, you know, the god of the sea, the god of the land. They fought, basically, and there was a war that was waged, and then it created certain things that happened. This is a very popular idea in this medieval time that's happening here. And what Asaph is doing is he's taking basically ancient folklore in a certain way, and he's using the same imagery, the same drama, if you want to use that word, and what he's doing is he's ascribing it to God. In other words, as a missiologist, Asaph is doing a beautiful work of what we call contextualization. He's taken stories mythologies, and he's kind of using the same idea, but he ascribes it to God. It's not unlike preachers today that use movies, that use modern culture, to use different things to ascribe it to God. Like, you know, I haven't spoken on this in ages, you know, but one of my greatest superheroes is Superman. I just love Superman. But Superman, if you really think about it, Superman is really the cultural way to talk about Jesus. In other words, right, the world is crap. The world is messed up. The world is bad. We have no hope. So someone from outside comes to this earth, right, to save humanity. Obviously, right? We're talking about Jesus. And so it's the same heartfelt attitude, and it's same the heartfelt disposition, and we need, like, no one can do it from here. We need someone from outside. Obviously, it's Krypton, you know, but, you know, for us, we know it's heaven. And it's just really talking about Jesus. And when a preacher can bring cultural context in and then ascribe it to God, ascribe it to the Lord, right? That's basically what Asaph is doing. He's taken mythology, he's putting it on top of its head, and he's saying, no, it's not two creatures, two gods. You know, Mal, and I forgot what the Bell was. There's a few of them. It's not those guys. It's God. He's the one who created, you know, the oceans, and he divided the sea, and he did all these things, so on and so forth. And so then, you know, he continues on. And in the end, 22, so he finishes with the plea, "Do arise, O God, and plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches thee all day long. Do not forget the voice of your adversaries, the uproar of those who rise against you, which ascends continually." And he's his plea, God, you know, basically, do something. And you'll see that this kind of idea is not foreign to the Israelites. Moses did the same thing. And 32, he pleaded to God to relent for his own name's sake. You know, not that you know, people could be rescued. No, he says, Lord, for your own name's sake, please, you know, act on your own behalf. And Asaph is basically drawing out a very similar idea. And all to say, now notice, this is scripture. This is here in the psalm. And so I know it's okay to exaggerate our prayers before God. Like, God is not offended when we say, Lord, you are never with me. God, you know, he knows that's not what you mean. You know, he's not offended by these things. He says, come, you know, let us reason together. And that's always been his heart. And so I just want to encourage us that in our deliberations with God, especially about difficult matters or circumstances or even anger that we may have, brothers and sisters, pour your heart out to God. Because this is the warning. If you don't pour your heart out to God, that all that toxic emotions and thing inside of you is going to be poured out to somebody else. Probably your spouse or your mom or dad or your friends, or your house church leader or something like that. And they may not be able to take it. In fact, I tell you, they can't take it. And so what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to pour our heart out to the Lord. It's really, really important. I'll just share a really quick testimony per se. You know, I was meeting with a person, and she had been ministering to us, you know, my wife and I, in this season. And I mean, long story short, in one of our sessions, it says, you know, I've been cursing a lot. And I find myself, especially when I play basketball, but other times I just find myself cursing a lot. And at first it was kind of under my breath, and then now I just can't, it just, you know. And so this person told me, kind of sat on it for a month, and we came back later on. And basically the person told me, and he just said, Sam, maybe, you know, just as a suggestion, maybe the reality is that you're really not pouring your heart out to God. And so because that's not happening, you're basically pouring it out to other people and pouring it out into these instances, which is really not the most healthiest thing. And then she just kind of led us into the Psalms a bit, and we see David doing that. We see Asaph doing that, and it was acceptable to God. And then I found that during that season in my prayers, I would say things like, Lord, I'm really angry, but that doesn't really express how angry I really am. You know what I mean? Like, Lord, you know, like we say, and I think it was because, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm religious, and this person really encouraged me. Hey, be real, be raw. If necessary, curse at God. You know, and I was like, what? And just afterwards say sorry. I mean, just in other words, be real, be honest with the Lord. And you know what? Man, it works. You know, and I realized that I really hadn't really poured out my heart to God. And because if that doesn't happen, I'm telling you, all that toxicity inside of you is going to come out in another form or fashion. You never know. You might get into a fist fight. I mean, this crowd, I know that's not possible, right? But maybe someone listening to, you know, online, or, you know, you could throw things, or, you know, I've seen people break their phones out of this anger, this toxic anger that's inside. And so we need to learn, like Asaph does, to just really pour his heart out to the Lord. So let's pray. We're so grateful that our God is a very understanding God. That our God sees us beyond our words and beyond our actions. And it's okay to cry out to the Lord. It's okay to be honest with Him. I mean, when you read through the Psalms, you see David, Asaph, others accusing God of things all the time. Just really pouring their heart out to the Lord, their frustration, their anger. It's Scripture. It's okay to be real with God. I pray that we would learn to pour ourselves out before the Lord so that we don't pour ourselves out for other people. There wouldn't be a need to do that. Now you're having difficulty with someone, talk to God about it so you don't start gossiping about that person to others. Well, that's a good lesson from Asaph. As Mon leads us in a song, let's meditate on it. Am I really pouring out before the Lord? Am I really crying out to God? Or am I offering just very safe religious prayers before the Lord?
Forever all my days, alleluia.
there's something about wrestling with God, you know, like Jacob. Something about wrestling with God and coming out of the other side. Something about Job, you know, who wrestles with God and just says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives." I had a good friend of mine tell me one time, he says, "You know, I don't trust anyone, any believer, any leader that doesn't walk with a limp." And is referring to Jacob. He wrestled with God. He had a real relationship with God, a raw relationship. He wrestled with Him. And now for the rest of his days, he walks with a limp. You know, let's get away from a very safe prayer life, a safe kind of Christianity. Let's get into let's be real with God. Let's be honest with Him, honest with ourselves. I think that's what Asaph is showing us here in this passage. And I want to encourage you this morning, you know, whatever is going on, to be able and be free to cry out to the Lord. You know, learn to wrestle. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are battling through illness, cancer, and going through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that battles through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Oh, my right ear, I'm okay now. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that has COVID. Let's pray for God's healing. We just found out that Pastor Kenny's son just got COVID as well. So let's just cover him and his family. Let's also pray for frontline medical workers. Let's pray for God's protection and just strength during the season. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray over our leaders in Japan as we pray for Japan as well. Let's pray for the States, our SP New York, and also for Kelly in India. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia Chungmin Hyunjin, our church plant there in Tokyo. Let's just ask God's hand to minister and use our leaders, but also just to minister into these countries. So let's lift up. Let's pray for the Mission Council. Let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation as they lead our church in our missions. Let's pray for our foster adoption ministries, and let's pray for the babies in our care. Let's pray for the families that are signed up, and just pray for the whole system here in Hong Kong, that they would run a little better, run smoother, and let's just ask God's hand. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight over our intercessory prayer teams. Let's pray for the youth group. They're starting the new season. All the elementary school kids will be coming up tonight. Let's pray for the college ministry and also for the growing Christ class. Let's ask God's hand to be with our young people, our prayer warriors, right, and our disciples. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our women that are pregnant. Let's ask for protection. Pray for their health. Pray for the baby in the womb. We'll be just really growing and blessed and comforted. Let's pray for deliveries will be coming soon, that it will be healthy and smooth. Let's just lift up these ladies and their families. Pray for house church meeting tonight. Agora, Go, McCain, McDaddy, Providence Bay, and Westside. Let's just pray for the presence of the Lord to be with them. Our leaders, the homes where they meet, just God's heart and His presence would be there. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, thank you for Psalm 74, for Asaph, God. And it's just his heart, God, to really cry out to you, Lord, to express deeply what's in his heart and to be real. Lord, I pray that we can learn from that, God, and not offer you safe prayers, Lord, but really our hearts. God, we are in relationship with you, Lord. We want to be in an intimate relationship with you. And so lead us and teach us how we can do that. Oh, we thank you. Watch over us today or this whole weekend, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend.